What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Yo, what's good? What's good, Bills and Mafia? Buffalo Fanatics back at it again. What's happening? Hope you guys are ready for another edition of Rated Red, brought to you by the Buffalo Fanatics Network. Yo, and in case you didn't know by now, I am your host, Mr. Rev himself. You guys hop on in here with me, man. I'll tell you what, I'm excited to be here with you guys today, again, Wednesday night live. This is how we do it. I want to know where everybody is at, so you guys let me know. Everybody in the chat right now, let me know what's good, man. Let me know where you're watching from. This is a roll call, baby. I need to know what's happening. Come on now. Oh, man, yo, the chat is already popping. I got Chris here in the chat. Let's go, Buffalo. Biggest IB Al in the house. Wario and Waluigi show. Time to rev it up, boys. You already know what's going on. And that's my man, Deion Dawkins, would say, you already know the vibes, baby. Let's go. Let's go. Roz Lincoln in the house. Who else we got, man? Heather Hathaway all the way up in here. Let's go, Rev. Kick this off. Yo, you know that's how it... Don't you get me excited, Heather. Don't get me excited. It doesn't take much. In case you guys haven't found out by now, it doesn't take Rev much to get revved up. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take me much, but at all. Let's go. Buffalo, New York. I got Red Peel in the house from Buffalo, New York. Dylan Dalloway from Ontario, Canada, baby. What's happening? Jason Miller, Waco, Texas. What is going on, my man? Yo, you guys, let me know. And I want to know if you all are ready for another week of Buffalo Bills talk. I don't know if you guys are ready for it, man. I don't know. I got somebody from South Buffalo coming in. Chris from South Buffalo. Did somebody say from Vegas? I don't know. I think I did. I may have missed it. But regardless of where you're watching, whether or not you're watching here live on YouTube or you're watching on Facebook, you're watching right here on Twitter, whatever the case may be, grace and peace to you, all of you, my brothers and sisters. This is Rated Rev. Brought to you by none other than the Buffalo Fanatics Network. You see the banner behind me, right? You see the banner. It's the BF Network, man. There is no better place to be right now. None. And if you want the best in Bills content, you better make sure you do just one thing. Smash that like, baby, and subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like us on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Follow us on Twitter. And also, go to support.bf.com. What am I doing? All this time, I ain't even got my banner up. What's happening, man? Somebody in the chat should let me know what's happening. I ain't got my banner up. No wonder you guys can see. Look, supportbf.com. Supportbf.com. That's where you can find everything related to the Buffalo Fanatics. You want to follow us on all of our social media platforms? That is where you need to go to find out what's up. And also, in addition to that, if you have not downloaded the BF Network app, you need to download that mug right now. It is a free download, free app. You can get it on the Google Play Store. You can get it on the App Store if you get iPhone. You can find it for free. Download that app right now. You get access to all of the articles from our incredible contributors. You get access to all of our live shows, our videos. You get merch. And you want to make sure you get that merch going on for the season, baby. You see the NBA, we trust. You already know how it is, man. So this is how we're doing it. Roz, all the way from Hamburg. What's happening, Roz? What's happening? Bills fan 1970, Maple Falls, Washington, is ready for a Bills championship. No doubt about it. I hope you guys are ready for the Bills championship. I hope you guys are ready for another fantastic, what is setting up to be another fantastic Buffalo Bills season. Another fantastic Buffalo Bills season. There's a lot of hype going on right now in the Buffalo Bills. a lot of hype, a lot of pressure that's happening, right? There's a whole lot that's going on right now in as it relates to the Buffalo Bills. Man, could the stakes be any higher for this team right now? Huh? I mean, think about it. We've seen what happened last year, right? And the year previous. The Buffalo Bills, a couple of years ago, made it all the way to the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Just came out of nowhere, right? The Bills came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody was expecting the Bills to do what they did in 2020, in that season. First year they had Stephon Diggs. Excuse me. But the Bills exploded onto the scene, right? Went all the way to the AFC Championship game, lost a heartbreaker. But then the following year, a lot of people were wondering, are the Buffalo Bills for real, right? Is this team for real? Should we really take them serious? You know, we saw Josh Allen. We know Josh Allen, right? We know, like, Josh Allen is this inaccurate quarterback, that says the naysayers, right, and all the haters. Josh Allen was this inaccurate quarterback, you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden here in 2020, he gets Stephon Diggs, and then, you know, he plays better, he performs better, he explodes. We don't expect that to happen from Josh Allen again. What happened? What happened? You guys know what happened. You saw it yourself. The following year, Josh Allen explodes onto the scene again, has another fantastic career season. Another fantastic season with the Bills. MVP caliber performance yet again, two straight years by my man Josh Allen. Buffalo Bills experienced some adversity in the season, right? We all know it. We saw the adversity that the Bills faced. But then they finally got the wagon, right? They got the wagon on the tracks, man. They started getting everything back. They got the groove back like Stella. And the Bills started doing some things. They went on a tear. And they got in the playoffs and just ripped heads off in the playoffs, right? You know what happened. And then all of a sudden, we face our arch nemesis again, the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round playoffs. Had one of the best postseason games that you could ever watch, right? And we know how that ended. Another heartbreaker. But needless to say, the taste that it left on the mouths of the national media and just the fans of the National Football League in general was like, yo, these Bills ain't nothing to play with. That's right. I said nothing. I said ain't nothing to play with. They aren't anything to play with. No. You heard me right. They ain't nothing to play with. That's what happened when the Bills went toe-to-toe, blow for blow, with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They left people wanting more. Palates were wet. The mouths were drooling. They wanted to see more Josh Allen than the Buffalo Bills. Because I think that a lot of people knew that had the Bills won that game against the Chiefs, they more than likely would have went all the way to the Super Bowl. And quite possibly, would have beaten the Los Angeles Rams in L.A., hoisting up their first Lombardi trophy. But it didn't happen that way, right? It didn't happen that way. But needless to say, it still put the Bills on the forefront of so many people's minds. It put it on the forefront of everybody's minds to the degree to where right off the rip, as soon as the Rams won the Super Bowl and we started getting to the offseason and talking about the next football season, what happened? Expectations through the roof, right? People talking about the Buffalo Bills as the betting favorites, not just to go to the Super Bowl, but to win the Super Bowl. And that's how incredible of a performance the Buffalo Bills had at the end of last year. That's the taste they left in people's mouths to where they just want so much more to where they're like, you know what? The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the National Football League. Power rankings ranking the Buffalo Bills as number one. So much hype going into the offseason, right? And so much pressure. The pressure looking down on me, right? So much pressure. All that pressure coming. And now we enter into a new season with even more pressure. If it's as if that wasn't enough, right? Just and out of this coming into the offseason, the Buffalo Bills and Brandon Bean, they just did a whole lot more. They just like poured gasoline into the fire, onto the pressure fire, right? By having another phenomenal, phenomenal offseason. We saw what happened in free agency. We got the big fish, Von Miller, right? But we added so much talent across the board. Revamped the entire defensive line. Like my man Wario and Waluigi show says, yo, our D-line is going to pressure Mahomes a lot. Absolutely. The way that revamped defensive line is now, yo, I don't know how any quarterback right now in the National Football League that faces the Buffalo Bills is going to be able to have any time in the pocket whatsoever. That defensive line is about to go on a tear. Added Von Miller, right? Added Tim Settle, Daquan Jones, brought back Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, right? You've got second-year young, budding defensive end in Greg Rousseau coming back. You've got Boogie Basham and A.J. Epenesa coming back again. You've got so much that's going on. And that had that's not even the draft. We're not even talking about the draft. Just in the offseason, just free agency, man. So think about the amount of talent that was added to the team in the offseason. And then the offense, you got Jamison Crowder coming. You got O.J. Howard coming. You've got Duke Johnson coming, right? You've got Khalil Shakir, right? James Cook in the draft. You've got all of these people that the Buffalo Bills and Brandon Bean added to the team that is just increasing not just the talent on this roster, but increasing the pressure and increasing the expectations that no doubt the Bills have on themselves, but that the rest of the National Football League has put on the Bills. Which begs me to ask this question. Right? Which begs me to ask this question. And you already saw it in my thumbnail. But yo, it's this. Can the Bills bounce back? Can the Buffalo Bills bounce back? And we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about that tonight, no doubt. And I want to hear from all of you all in the comment section, in the chat. Let me know what's popping. But before we get into that, before we dive further into that, we have a game coming up again this weekend, baby. Aren't you excited for the preseason? Who is excited about the preseason? I don't know about you, but I'm excited because it gives us the opportunity to see a lot of young talent on this roster, right? I mean, the Buffalo Bills, I mean, first and foremost, the offseason has been long. It's been long, right? I have been waiting for this time, right? I've been waiting just for us to get past that division round loss, right? And to actually play some football. And then we can turn, you know, the page of last year and enter into a new page, a new chapter in the Buffalo Bills franchise. But you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about the preseason. I want to see all of these young guys. I want to see everybody. I want to see the Khalil Shakirs. I want to see the Kyer Elams, you know what I'm saying, of the world. I want to see the young guys. I want to see Terrell Bernard and the Christian Benfords and all these kind of players. I want to see them. Because it's one thing to take a look at them in the offseason and the training camp, but it's another thing for you to watch them in game action, live game action against other teams, which is what we got a chance to see last week against the Colts. And man, how many of you all right now enjoyed what you saw last week against the Colts out of your beloved Buffalo Bills? That was an incredible game. For a preseason game, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a preseason game. We expect it to kind of be like long and slow and boring and snooze fest, right? That game, especially in the fourth quarter, turned out to be a very good game. When Matt Barkley and company came onto the field, that game was very good, very interesting, very entertaining. But it gave us a chance to see these young guys in action. We got a chance to see Khalil Shakir, who had a fantastic game, who, in my opinion, was, you know, I mean, if we're doing like preseason MVPs, you know what I'm saying, of the game, to me, Khalil Shakir is up there, right? He had a fantastic game. Not to mention Christian Benford, right? Malin Spector had an incredible game. I was all over the place. Kyir Elam did good. These guys, these players, these rookies, I said it before, but these, I said it again, these rookies ain't playing. These rookies ain't playing. They came with it. They came with it. And so now we're entering into game two of the preseason, and we have a matchup against the Denver Broncos, baby. The Denver Broncos, and we got my man Dangerous coming to Buffalo. I don't know if he's playing or not. I don't know. Maybe too early in the week to find that out. But regardless of the fact is that they're gonna have, it's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a good game. And I wonder what the Broncos are gonna do, whether or not they're gonna play some of their starters, because they have a very talented team on both sides of the ball. Very talented. That defense has a lot of dogs, man. A lot of dogs. And so the preseason, it really gives us an opportunity to see these young guys. Granted, we get the chance to see some of our starters too, but you know, by and large, we probably won't see too many of our starters. Maybe they increase the starter snap count here in preseason game number two. I'm not too sure. Maybe we'll see. I mean, I think we'll probably see more of it in game three. But needless to say, I think after watching what they did last week against the Colts starters, Matt Ryan and their starters for what, the first half, by if I'm not mistaken, these young guys on our second team defense, yo, they held their own. Did they not hold their own? These guys showed up. They showed up, absolutely. I loved watching Christian Benford. And let me know, I want to know what you guys thought about it, man. Like who was your star of the game last week? Who was your star of the game last week? Was it Christian Benford? He was one of mine. Was it Khalil Shakir? Was it Kyir Elam? These guys locking up Alec Pearson and shutting down Matt Ryan. Who was it? Was it Zach Moss? I heard, unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the most of the first quarter. So I came in the tail end of the game of the first quarter where most of those guys were already sitting on the bench. I heard Zach Moss had a good game. You know what I'm saying? So who was it? Who was the star of the game last week? And who are you most looking forward to seeing this coming week? Let me know who you guys want to see. Whether or not you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, let me know. I want to know who you guys want to see. I mean, Bullish Bill LaBille comes in and says, Tim Settle, yo, did you guys see? There was a clip. I can't remember who put it out. Yo, but did you guys see Tim Settle just completely abuse? I mean, he just totally abused Quentin Nelson. Did you guys see that clip? Oh, my gosh. I didn't watch, like I said, I missed him playing live, but when I caught the replay and I saw those clips, yo, we're talking about an all-pro guard in Quentin Nelson, and he just got bulldozed like it was nobody's business. My man Tim Settle, yo, if Matt Ryan had not gotten the ball off when he did, yo, Quentin Nelson was going on, he was going on a second wave of bull rush and was about to be right in the lap of Matt Ryan. Tim Settle is a freaking dog, an absolute dog. Thank you, Washington Commanders. Thank you, Washington Commanders, for letting that man go. I get it. You guys have first round picks all across the defensive line. So, I mean, he was expendable. I get it. But Tim Settle is nasty. Nasty. That guy, yo, I am excited not only to see him throughout the rest of the preseason. I want to see this guy in the regular season. Golly, that dude was ridiculous Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Daquan Jones is another guy. He's another guy, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing too. I want to know, I want to see how we hold up in the run game. I don't know if the Broncos are going to be playing the starters, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if Melvin Gordon and what's his name? Williams? Javonte Williams is going to play this game. I don't know, because that's a 1-2 punch right there. And so there is so much to look forward to, right? So much to look forward to. I've got my man coming in here. Where'd he go? I saw it. All right, here he is. Yo, Domo Arvison. Yo, what's good, Rev? Yo, Davis will have over 10 tutties this year. Take that to the bank. Is that in all my mama take, Domo? Huh? All my mama? Davis will have over 10 tutties this year? I agree with you, baby. I agree with you, man. I am so high on Gabe Davis. So incredible. You guys already know, right? You guys know my man crush on Gabe Davis. I think this guy is going to absolutely explode this year. I mean, explode. It's like the writing was already on the wall. You've already seen the production out of Gabe Davis, though it's in limited opportunities, right? Because for his first 2 years in a season, I mean, in the National Football League, he's been playing third fiddle, right, to Cole Beasley and John Brown, right? And then last year to Steph Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Emmanuel Sanders. You know what I'm saying? But now he's expected to get an increased role by being the number two wide receiver on this squad. But even though he hadn't had a ton of production over the last couple of years, the production that he has had has been nothing to shy away from, nothing to overlook, right? The man averages over 15 yards per reception in both years. 15 yards per reception. You talk about a deep threat. There you go right there. You got Gabe Davis who can stretch the field. And then now you add in an increased target share likely, very high likelihood of that by being the number two. I think, what did he have last year? I think last year let me look it up, because I think Gabe Davis last year was averaging, I think he had like 35 receptions. I think that's kind of like his average over the past couple of years. It's been around, yeah, he's hovered 35 receptions both years, actually. So I'm looking for Gabe Davis to double that. I'm looking for him to double that easily. You know what I'm saying? Like I absolutely think that he's going to double those targets, because there's going to be a lot of targets that's going to be vacated from Cole Beasley, right? Target's going to be vacated from Emmanuel Sanders. And so, granted, there's a lot of mouths to feed, but you know, Josh Allen, you know, he likes his guys. He likes the guys that he can rely on. Diggs, we already know he's going to get his targets. That's going to leave Gabe Davis wide open, right? I mean, you've got Lil Durty, Isaiah McKenzie, who's right now in a battle with Jamison Crowder. We don't know how that target share is going to go. I doubt that the both of them are going to get what Cole Beasley had. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that Isaiah McKenzie and Jamison Crowder are going to have huge target shares. I could be wrong, but I think the vast majority of those targets that were vacated by Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders are going to go to Gabe Davis, right? I think he's number two in the progression, right? I mean, when Josh Allen sees Diggs, and Diggs may be double covered, because make no mistake about it, teams are not going to leave Diggs one-on-one. They'd be foolish to do that. They'd be foolish, absolute foolish, right? But when they see coverage going heavy towards Diggs, best believe Josh Allen, boom, number two, he's looking for a man, Gabe Davis, who, by the way, this offseason has just put in tons of work this offseason, hitting the jug machine like we already know. The man has hands like he's got stick'em, you know what I'm saying? But he put on a lot of weight, added a lot of weight to his frame, got a lot bigger, a lot stronger, and still is able to maintain his speed. But his strength is like, oh my gosh, he's bodying dudes in camp and in practice, man. He's bodying guys. He's just, that's just what he does, man. He's boxing guys out. He's too strong. 6'3", pushing 230. The guy Gabe Davis is going to explode. He's going to have a fantastic year. Fantastic season. My man Steve Kertacci, if I'm not mistaken, if I say that correctly, Steve, forgive me if I completely butchered your last name. I think McKenzie will explode this year. That's quite possible, man. I mean, he's looked good so far in camp, right? He's looked good in camp. Hopefully we get a chance to see more of him in preseason. And so we'll look forward to seeing that. It's no doubt I think McKenzie can do it. We saw what he did, though, in very limited action last year, especially against the New England Patriots, which is where a lot of these people have kind of put their hopes on it. You know what I'm saying? When they looked at what he did in New England against the Patriots. And so, and then you couple that with what he has done so far in training camp, you know, it's to be expected, right? Like the hype for McKenzie is not overblown. It's not overshadowed. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate that, man. I try my best to make sure I pronounce it correctly. And so, yeah, I definitely think that Isaiah McKenzie is going to have a good year. I think sky's the limit for him, man. I think sky's the limit. But don't sleep. Don't you sleep on Jameson Crowder, because my man is healthy now. He's getting healthy. And Jameson Crowder has been a very good wide receiver throughout his career. And a lot of people, they just don't really know a whole lot about him because he hasn't been playing with anybody, right? The quarterbacks that Jameson Crowder has played with have been just so bad, so bad. And so when you think of Jameson Crowder, you don't really think of him as a very good slot wide receiver, right? Because he's been buried, you know, beneath bad teams. But Jameson Crowder is a very good receiver. Very, very good wide receiver. Very good wide receiver. So I think that, yo, Isaiah McKenzie better watch his back, because Crowder's coming for him. And not only is Crowder coming for him, but then you couple that with my man Khalil Shakir. So Khalil Shakir coming out, rookie, looking like, does he look like a rookie to you? I don't know, man, not to me. You know what I'm saying? Not to me. This guy does not look like a rookie at all. He has been, he's come into you know, the Bills this offseason, man, and he's just looking like a young vet. You know what I'm saying? Like, from his work ethic to the way he carries himself, the way he performs on the field, like, he's just been performing. And so Khalil Shakir is another guy that we got to look out for. I definitely think that he is going to be the future, but, you know, as I mentioned, there's just so much that we can look at, right? So much that we can look forward to in the preseason. We got these young guys coming up. And that leads me to a battle on the field, man. There's been a battle on the field. And in case you guys did not know, there is a battle on the field, and that is at the cornerback position. I don't know if you guys were able to catch what Leslie Frazier said. Leslie Frazier had a press conference, and they asked him this. I can't remember the name of the reporter who asked him this question, but essentially they were talking about how Dane Jackson, right? Dane Jackson didn't play. Now, Dane Jackson did not play last year. I mean, not last year, how he did not play last game. Why am I continuing to fail to put my banner up? Good night. Anyway, golly. Anyway, so they were talking about how Dane Jackson didn't play last, you know what I'm saying, last week against the Colts, and whether or not, you know, is there something that we can look into that? You know, can we look into that? Is there a reason why Dane didn't play last week? Is he being outperformed by some of the rookies? I mean, you know, what's going on, Leslie? What's happening? Clear the air, you know what I'm saying? And so what Leslie essentially said was, they've seen all they need to see out of Dane Jackson. Essentially, they're like, yo, we know who Dane Jackson is. We know who Dane Jackson is, right? We know who he is. We know what he brings to the table. I said he's a vet. Though his experience is limited, they've seen enough out of him to where they have a good feel for what Dane Jackson can bring to the table in the defense. And what he flat out said was this, that they asked him, so is he ahead of the other guys? Like where does he, then they followed up and said, so in terms of competition though, Leslie, like where does that place Dane Jackson? Like where does that place him? And Leslie Frazier said, Dane Jackson right now he's leading the rookies. He is leading the rookies. So yeah, Steve, you're right. Dane Jackson right now is a lock. He's a lock to start, right? He's a lock to start to open the season. Now, when Trey comes back, that's a different story. But as far as opening the season until Trey gets back, Dane Jackson, by all accounts, right now, is a lock to start. And so now the cornerback position now then becomes Elam versus Christian Benford, right? That's where the competition comes at. It's now Kyer Elam versus Christian Benford. And Leslie Frazier was talking about that too, because they're asking him, they're like, it talked to us about these rookies, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it that you want to see? And essentially what Leslie was saying was, he was like, we want to see more out of these young guys. You know what I'm saying? We want to get as much from them as possible. You want to see as much from them as possible in order for us to make the right decision going forward. Right. So they've already seen what they need to see out of Dane Jackson. Mark him a lock to start. So now it's Kyer Elam and Christian Benford. Now who would have thought that our first round rookie draft pick, Kyer Elam, would be in a competition right now against a guy named Christian Benford? Who was he drafted? Was Christian Benford drafted? You guys let me know. Forgive me for not knowing that off the cuff. But regardless of whether or not he was drafted or whether he was a sixth-round draft pick or undrafted, the fact of the matter remains that, how is Kyer Elam in a competition with that guy? One should expect – thanks, Big Baller Bang. Yeah, sixth-round draft pick. Okay, I appreciate that. One should already expect Kyer Elam to start. But that's not the case. Right now, he is locked up in a competition. And rightfully so. When you look at what Christian Benford did, we've already, you know what I'm saying? So we've heard the reports, right, coming out of training camp about Christian Benford taking first team reps. And a lot of people were like, and myself too, they were like, Christian Benford, what? Taking first team reps? Say that again, what? And then we got a chance to see him in game action last week. And oh my gosh, did this guy look like he belonged on the field or what? Right? Like Christian Benford looked like a starter from my naked, untrained eyes, unprofessional eyes. I'm sitting here looking at Christian Benford. I'm like, who is 47? 47, that dude needs to start. He needs to be on the field. He looks big. He's a big guy. I think he's 6 foot, right? 200 pounds. He's a bigger cornerback, but he actually looks bigger on the field. Locking guys up. I mean, I think they had him locked up against the Colts starting wide receiver in Alec Pierce. Locked the guy up. Completely locked him up. I was like, oh my gosh, this dude looks phenomenal. Now, granted, it's a preseason game. They're not really game planning, but it was still against the starters. It was still Matt Ryan starting, throwing the ball, right? Matt Ryan is no slouch of a quarterback, right? He's a very good vet quarterback, Super Bowl quarterback, right? And then Alec Pierce is a rookie guy, you know what I'm saying? Looking good coming out of Texas Tech. But then also, Michael Pittman. Now, I can't remember if Benford was on Pittman or if that was Kyer Elam, but regardless, the fact is that Christian Benford looked very good. Very good in game action against the Indianapolis Colts. And so now, it's like, to me, it's like, now, I want to see more out of him. I want to see more. You've got him going against Kyer Elam. I expect Kyer Elam to win that job. There's no way I see Kyer Elam not winning that. If you're first-round draft pick and you're going to lose to the guy who's drafted in the sixth or seventh round, come on now, right? You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I think this can give us hope, right, Bills Mafia? Right, this gives us hope in knowing that, first of all, Brandon Bean is a fantastic general manager, right? He knows what he's doing. This guy, I mean, he just finds studs, man. He just finds studs, diamonds in the rough. You know what I'm saying? Guys who other teams aren't really looking at. This Christian Benford guy. And he comes on the field and looks like a starter. And then on top of that, if that's not enough, there is a report out that, and I'm trying to remember who it was who reported it, but they were saying that at the game or after the game, that they were being hit up by other GMs asking if they thought that Christian Benford was going to make the team or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you know you drafted well. When you've got other GMs scouting your sixth and seventh round picks, you know, like hoping that they can just catch some apples that fall off the tree. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Yes, Charlie, you're absolutely right. The kid belongs on the field, man. He belongs on the field. That guy looked incredible, right? But what else it gives us hope into is that it gives us hope into knowing that we have quality depth at the cornerback position. Quality depth at the cornerback position, right? We know how much we're going to need help with the absence of Trey. We don't know if he's going to be back week one. In all likelihood, he won't. He may be out a couple of weeks, a few weeks. We don't know, okay? We really just don't know. Everything that we think we know is just speculation. We have no idea. But we want Trey to come back fully healthy. I don't want him coming back too soon, right? We want him fully healthy. It's an all-pro cornerback. We got to have him fully healthy for the year, okay? But it gives us hope in you know, saying that we have, first of all, we got a guy like Dane Jackson who the coaching staff is already sold on, right? They've seen enough. They know Dane Jackson is good. But then you've got a first-round draft pick, Kyer Elam, right, that you have high hopes in, right? But then you've got a guy like Christian Benford who's showing up in camp and in a dogfight against your first-round draft pick. You know what I'm saying? Not to mention we guys got like Cam Lewis, right? So the depth at the cornerback position is looking pretty good now, especially with Trey White out. And then once Trey gets healthy, oh, man. Oh, I think, Mafia, you guys let me know. Maybe I'm, you know what I'm saying, drinking too much of the Kool-Aid, but I think that we could possibly have two lockdown cornerbacks because we know that Trey White, we know Trey shuts down half the field. We know that's what he does. He doesn't travel. He shuts down half the field. So a lot of attention is going to the other side. Dane Jackson's side, or is it going to be Kyer Elam or Christian Benford? No matter what, I think that we can be all right. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. And then with our all-pro safeties, oh, man, it is going to be so good. So good. So, who's not pumped up, man? Who's not pumped up about Kyer Elam and Christian Benford? I want to see more of that. And you know what I'm saying? And as we look ahead to Saturday's matchup against the Broncos, again, like I mentioned, I'm not too sure if their starters are going to be playing, but they've got some dogs at the wide receiver position. Right, they've got some guys. Granted, I think Cortland Sutton got injured, so I think he's out for the year, right? But they do have a man from Alabama. What's his name? Jerry Jeudy, right? Is Jerry Jeudy playing? Is he hurt or is he playing? Somebody let me know. I don't know why I'm thinking that he got injured, but I don't know. But anyway, so they got him. They lost Cortland Sutton, I think. So that's gonna hurt them. It's gonna hurt the depth. But I want to see because these are I think Jerry Jeudy is very good wide receiver, very good wide receiver number one, right? So you want to see your young guys going up against more of this kind of young talent because when week one is around the corner, ladies and gentlemen, week one is just around the corner, and you want to make sure our corners are ready because we got Cooper Kupp, Triple Crown winner last year, right? Super Bowl MVP, and they got Allen Robinson. Man, they've got talent, man. And so you want our guys to get as much practice with other top dog wide receivers as possible. My man Jacques comes in, he says, cornerback wealth. When is the last time we've actually been able to say that too, right? It's been a while, right, since we've actually had that type of depth. We got scared. Like, if any guy got injured, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. If Trey misses a game, oh, my gosh, you know, because we got Levi Wallace on the other side, who was an admirable cornerback, right? But he was sus, right? He was suspect. We always had to have safety help. You know what I'm saying? He always had to have safety help over the top because the dude was always getting burnt, always getting beat off the line, getting abused off the line of scrimmage, and then just getting burnt down the field. So he needed help. We saw what happened, you know what I'm saying, against the New England Patriots when man Micah Hyde had to come through, you know what I'm saying, to save the day with that incredible interception. But, my man, that was on Levi Wallace, and he got burnt. That was a would-be touchdown had it not been for Micah Hyde. But, nevertheless, we now can say that our depth, now the quality of our depth is looking very good. But not just at the cornerback position, though, but our depth at the corner, but our depth is looking very good as my man Jason Miller comes in and says with the super chat, depth all over the defense. Yo, Jason, I could not agree with you anymore, man. We have so much depth all across the defense. And let's take a look at the safety position since we're on the secondary. Let's go back. We've got my man Jaquan Johnson who's been looking very good. Right? Damar Hamlin looking very good. Looking very good. And then we got Jordan Porter, right? Who's you know, looking for a contract, right? He's injured right now. But when we saw Jaquan Johnson last week against the Colts, my man, look, yo, he looked didn't look like we missed a beat, did it? Now, granted, I understand, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is preseason, I get it. But it did not look like we missed a beat at all. You know what I'm saying? At all. Thanks for correcting me. Yeah, so it was okay. I see here. I think it was I thought it was Cortland Sutton. Dumbo says, Sutton's healthy. I think you're referring to Tim Harris. Okay, you might be right. So if Sutton is healthy, then that's just another guy, man, because Sutton is a big wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. But needless to say, I think, man, that this depth, so we've got depth at the cornerback position, we got depth at the safety position. Linebacker depth now is looking a whole lot better, right? Because when we saw years past, we didn't have it. If Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano went out, who did we have? I mean, we had A.J. Klein trying to step in, right? But it just wasn't that good. But now we've got Terrell Bernard, rookie out of Baylor, coming in looking like, yo, this guy looks very good. You know what I'm saying? So when he played last week, man, my man, you know what I'm saying, with the fumble recovery for a touchdown. You know, so granted, he looked a little slow. I think he ran out of gas. My man ran out of gas, got winded, but he still made it to the end zone. You know what I'm saying, for the touchdown. But he was all over the field. He was all over the field. And another guy who was all over the field was my man Spector. That guy was all over the field at linebacker. So now you've got Baylen Spector and Terrell Bernard looking very good. So now we like, yo, if Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano goes down, man, plug one of those guys in. Plug one of those guys in. Not to mention we still got Andre Smith, you know what I'm saying, and other guys, but I think Andre's going to be out. So our depth is looking even better at the linebacker position. And then now we move up to the defensive line. And how deep do we go across the defensive line? Let's just count it up, right? So starters, we got Greg Rousseau, right? Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Von Miller, right? Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips, AJ Epinesa, Boogie Basham, Shaq Lawson. That's 10 already. That's 10. Yo, the depth across the defensive line, We have got waves of pass rush, right? And our second team D-line can likely start on another team. That's how loaded we are, man. That is how loaded we are. So, yo, Bills Mafia, Fanatics, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to temper my expectations, you know what I'm saying? But, yo, this defensive line can look extremely dominant. Is it possible, man? I about almost slammed the table because I just got revved up for a second. Is it possible that the number one defense from last year can get better, even if we don't rank number one? That's a question. You guys let me know what you think about that. Is it possible that the number one defense from last year can get even better this year, even if we don't rank number one overall? I think it's quite possible, right? Because just from a roster standpoint on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive roster, the depth looks so much better to me. So much better to me, right? Grant, we're getting our safeties back, right? But the depth behind them looks good. Cornerback, we had Trey White. He's injured, but he's going to come back. We had Dane Jackson, but man, we drafted Kyer Elam. Got him. Looks very good. Got Christian Benford. Looks very good, right? Teron Johnson. We already know how good Teron Johnson is. One of the top nickel cornerbacks in the National Football League, right? Depth beyond depth. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Saran Neal, Cam Lewis, all those guys looking very good. Linebacker position. Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, very good linebackers. Pro Bowl linebacker and Tremaine Edmonds in a contract season this year. You think he's not going to play for some money? You think he ain't going to play for another contract? Got another thing coming. Tremaine Edmonds, as hard as I've been on him, I think he's going to have an extraordinary year this year. But then you look at the depth across that, right? We've already talked about Terrell Bernard, Baylen Specter, right? Then we go to the D-line. We are 10 deep. So just at the deep. Yo, this defense is going to be killers. They're going to be killers, man. Golly. Yo, I just got excited thinking about that. Our second team defense was shutting down the first team offense of the Colts last week. Grant, I know, Rev. Yo, pump the brakes, Rev. It was just preseason. I get it. I know, man. But still, you want to look at the competition and you want to see, like, there's a competition drop off. Like, there's a talent drop off. And when the second team defense was going up against the first string offense of the Colts, they did not skip a beat. They shut them down. They looked very good. Very good. So, yo, yeah, I'm going to get excited, man. Yeah, I'm going to get excited about it. Yo, so M comes in with a super chat. Appreciate you, M. But, yo, hey, listen, you can add a comment to that. You can add a comment to that. So I'm not too sure what you wanted to say, but go ahead and drop your comment. But, yeah, bullish, yo, Gio. yeah, so Spencer, man, what's up? Are you all talking about Spencer Brown? You talking about Spencer Brown? Don't tell me Spencer Brown is hurt, man. Wait, what's up? Again? No way. What happened? Somebody tell me what happened to Spencer Brown. Somebody tell me what happened. Did it just happen or did I miss it? Anyway, you guys let me know what happened, okay? Man, that I almost lost my train of thought right there. Anyway, defense looks very good, okay? Defense looks very good. And so, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the defensive side of the ball at all. I think the defense is going to be even better. But as we move on in tonight's show, and just quick shout out, man. All of you guys watching right now, watching your boy live in the chat. I've got about 150 live right now going on. Yo, salute to you guys. But do me this favor. Smash that like button right now. Just go ahead and smash it. Smash that like button and let me know in the chat too, in the comments, wherever you watch, how excited you are about the Buffalo Bills this year. Somebody said Spence's okay, just recovering from back. All right, is that it? So like, did he have another injury, or is it this is the same injury that he had? Recovering from surgery? Okay. All right, good. Okay. Just agitated. Okay, man. Well, look. It's a good thing that we've got depth, because it looks like right now Spencer Brown probably ain't going to be ready for week one. I don't know. I'm not going to make assumptions, but you know what I'm saying? He hasn't been, you know, quite right all offseason, right? But the good news is we've got my man, David Questenberry, who has been spelling him at right tackle and even at guard. And so I'm not worried about that right now. Spencer Brown just needs to get healthy, but Questenberry is more than capable to hold down the fort until Spencer Brown gets healthy, gets fully healthy. That offensive line is going to look very nice too once everybody gets healthy, but my man David Questenberry is a very good guy, right? And then we've got Rick Bates, Mitch Morse, Roger Saffold, Deion Dawkins. O-line is going to be very good, man. Very good. So in transition to the main topic of the show, I bet you guys have been wondering, like, what the heck is Rev talking about when he says, yo, can the Bills bounce back? Can the Bills bounce back? Well, you see the picture of Josh Allen, right? Right? Just in heartbreaking defeat after the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs last year in the division round of the playoffs. So my question now is, can the Bills bounce back? There's a lot of pressure on this team. I said it at the top of the show. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of pressure, tons of pressure for the Bills to perform at an elite level. Elite level. You see, listen at this, Fanatics and Bills Mafia. Look, gone are the days, long gone are the days when we were just trying to hope that we could, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe we could be in the running, in the hunt, right, to be in the playoffs at the end of the year. Maybe we're in the hunt. Long gone are those days. And then long gone are the days when Sean McDermott came in and, you know, we were just like, we were rebuilding, trying to just rebuild and be playoff caliber. Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, and his entire staff has put together one of, if not the best, all-around rosters and teams in the National Football League. Hands down. One of the best. Okay? One of the best. My man RJ says, yo, good old Tyrod days. Yeah, man. Man, it was long. It seems like they were forever ago, right? So they put together an extraordinary team. They've built it the right way. They've been drafting and grooming and coaching their guys and then adding free agents and all that kind of stuff. And so now we're at the place now to where we're not just trying to make the playoffs. We're expected to win, to make the playoffs. We're not just trying to win the division. We're expected to win the division. We're not just trying to make a long playoff run and hopefully, you know, we can win one playoff game and we'll be good. No, we're expected to win multiple playoff games. We are now expected to be in the AFC Championship game. We are now expected now this year to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. But if that wasn't enough, we're expected to win the Super Bowl. So the pressure is on, ladies and gentlemen. The pressure is on Brandon Bean, right? You don't think he felt the pressure after that loss to improve his team, improve the roster of his team, and get better by all means necessary? You don't think Sean McDermott felt any pressure, especially from a coaching standpoint, knowing how much the entire coaching staff, and I'm putting it on Sean McDermott though, just let the entire team down in that game. Pressure. Because many would say, yo, man, that window was right there. That was it. That was our time. But can we go back? Can this team make it back? You're right, Donut Bop. Yeah, we're finally respected. Absolutely. It was one thing when we went to the playoffs, you know, we made the wild card playoff, you know what I'm saying, against the Houston Texans. and got, you know, embarrassed. It's another thing for us to all of a sudden in 2020 just go out of nowhere, just go all the way to the AFC Championship game. Like, people are like, what the Bills? What is it? What is this? 13-3 record, obliterating people. Josh Allen, MVP season. And many people were like, yo, that's just an aberration. There's no way they can go back. There's no way they can do that again. It's just not possible. They did it again last year with some adversity, no doubt, even though they had a much weaker schedule. But they made it back. Not to the championship game, obviously. Divisional round, one game shy of it. But still, nonetheless, they got it back. They made a playoff run. So there's expectations for this team that are out the roof, man. These Bills are expected to be great. Expected to do it. And as Bills fans, we can't shy away from that. You know what I'm saying? We can't shy away from it. I got to catch myself sometimes. I'm like, yo, I love it. I like it best when the Bills are kind of, you know, the underdog, where nobody's talking about the Bills. That's that losing mentality, right? That's that 20 years of just being a loser, right? And we just want the Bills just to kind of fly under the radar, you know what I'm saying, and sneak up on some folks. That's not going to happen anymore, ladies and gentlemen. The spotlight is on the Bills. And it's turned up. The spotlight is on us. And we have to embrace it. We have to know how to live with that, right? Winning teams, right? We have a winning team. Now we got to be a winning fan base. Man, I said a thing. We've got to be a winning fan base. We got to know how to handle winning and expect us to win. Expect us to be great while being humble at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to embrace these expectations, the lofty expectations, but we have to embrace them nonetheless, right? And another thing we have to embrace is M coming through with another super chat. Yo, there you go, M. Yo, like the Elam pick, but Benford is a dog. Play him. I agree. Benford is a – I mean, he has shown – he showed us, like, yo, this guy is – he looks like he's nothing to play with. Nothing to play with. We'll see what happens. We're going to see what happens when it boils down to it, man. You know what I'm saying? When week one comes around, we're going to see what happens. We know Dane Jackson. Is it possible that Dane Jackson could get outplayed? And even though Leslie Frazier today said that he's a lock, could the two rookies just continue to perform and perform? And if Dane Jackson gets in one game and kind of has a poo-poo game, could the rookies like take over and start week one? I don't know. That's just a thought I had, random thought. But as I was saying, so we have to get used to these expectations, right? But, yo, the Bills, yo, last year, that was such a tough loss. Such a tough loss. And you wonder, it kind of makes you wonder, right? Like, do they have what it takes to get back? And what is required? Like, what does it take for teams to kind of, you know what I'm saying, who've had losses in the playoffs like that? Heartbreakers, heartbreaking defeats, but back-to-back heartbreaking defeats against the same doggone team, the team that we just can't seem to get past in the playoffs. You know, beat them in the regular season last year, finally, but in the playoffs, we just can't seem to get by them. So what does it take? What are some characteristics of a team? Huh? Man, first of all, I think in order for this team to get back, to bounce back to their winning ways, to bounce back to where they start the season on fire, no more of this lollygagging around, right, like they did last year. No more of this just bad performances that just look like so beneath the team that we expect, right? No more of this. This year, the Bills cannot do that. The Bills cannot afford this year to lollygag around, to take a few games off. That's not saying that they did last year, but just to kind of, you know, yawn their way through some teams. We can't do it. We do that in the first – because the first week of the season, we do that in the first week of the season, it's likely a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Because the AFC has gotten a lot more competitive. But the first half of the season is a gauntlet. We better come out of there over 500. Because then once we get out of that after the bye, then it kind of gets a little bit easier for us. But that first, look, we better come with it. It's important, right? So what does it take? So now we see the Bills and we see them having to kind of get that mindset right back. You know what I'm saying? That winning mindset, that winning attitude of trying to let go of what happened last year and embracing the pressure, embracing the expectations. Because they can say all they want to say, right, in front of the cameras, right? Oh, you know, we're just going to take it one game at a time. And, you know what I'm saying? We're just, you know, looking forward to the next game on the schedule and blah, 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 blah. Garbage. You know what I'm saying? Garbage. You know they're thinking about it. You know they are. You know they thought about it. They probably got banners in the locker room, all that kind of stuff. They're thinking about it. This season has a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations for them as well. Josh Allen in the squad, Stephon Diggs in the squad, these younger guys coming back again, a lot of these vets that are coming back. High expectations for Von Miller coming back. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to win another championship. Win his third Super Bowl with his third team. There's a lot of expectations, man. And this team is trying to get back to that performance, to get back to that position. What do you guys think? RJ comes in with the super chat. RJ, appreciate that so very much, man. Yo, so RJ asked this question. He said, "Rep, give us your hottest take for the Bills this year, man." Oh, man. You going to put me on blast like that, RJ? Huh? Okay. My hottest take. Is this going to be an all-my-mama take? I'm not ready for an all-my-mama take. Let me see. My hottest take for the Bills this year. All right. Here it is. My hot take for the year for the Buffalo Bills this season is not going to be record-based. You ready for it? The Buffalo Bills and this year are going to go on an absolute tear, terrorizing every team that crosses their path. Am I saying they're going to go 20-0? Am I going to say that? But what I am going to say is this. The Buffalo Bills are going to finally secure the number one seed in the AFC. There it is, baby. They're going to do it. The Bills are going to secure the number one seed in the AFC. That's what they've been building to, right? That's what Brandon Bean has been building to. He's always been saying it the past couple of years. Yo, we need to get the one seed and have the playoffs run through Buffalo. We need it. We didn't get it a couple of years ago. We had to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. We didn't get it last year. Though we're probably like one regular season game, one win away from securing the number one seed. We didn't get it. That's the goal. Secure that number one seed. Win the East, which I think we're going to do easily. And go on an absolute tear. Terrorizing teams. And secure the number one seed. That's what I expect. That's what I think is going to happen. I think the Bills are going to be out for blood this year, man. Does anybody feel that? I think they are. He's about to say, yo, Alan. Alan, fool. Yo, and that's on his grandmama. Yeah, man, that's it is. No doubt. But, I really do, man. I think that the Bills are going to be out for blood. Watch how they come out. You'll see it week one as they kick off the season against the defending Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. You will see it. I think you're going to see another Josh Allen. You know, every year he kind of just elevates his game, right? He elevates his game year after year after year. Josh Allen's winning the MVP this year, in case you didn't know. So that's happening. I think we're going to see something different, man, in his eyes this year. I just got a feeling it's going to be a different feel. Out for blood. Out for absolute blood. And I think that when you have him and then you pair him with Ken Dorsey, who we've all heard that and players have been saying that, yo, he is a competitive fireball. He's as fiery as Josh Allen is. You've got those two competitors, and you got that guy running the offense, running the show. Yo, all gas, no brakes. Get ready for that. I want, and this is how we need to make a statement this year. Like in the regular season, there wasn't really many statement wins. This year, we're gonna get plenty of opportunities. We need to make a statement. I mean, blowing teams out. That's what I want to see. Complete dominance. Utter dominance. Like we dominated the Patriots in the wild card playoffs, right? Dominant. We need to dominate. Get back to that. That's what I want to see. M comes in again with another super chat. M, appreciate you. So he said, M says, speed. Blackshear over Duke and Taiwan. Ooh, okay. Let me say it like this. Blackshear is not going to be over Duke and Taiwan. I think Blackshear is a prime practice squad candidate. I think Blackshear is going to be on the practice squad. Okay. Taiwan Jones is our special teams ace. He's a veteran. He's a core special teamer. Okay. He's not going anywhere. Duke Johnson, however, is going to be the guy that he doesn't have to worry about. Blackshear, who he has to worry about, is James Cook. Okay, because James Cook and Duke Johnson, they have similar skill sets. You know what I'm saying? So that's who he has to look out for. Is Duke Johnson going to make the roster? Because they've been saying that even Zach Moss, you know, has been looking pretty good too. So, you know, Motor's the guy, James Cook draft pick, Zach Moss coming back looking good. Duke Johnson could be on his, you know what I'm saying? He could be on the outside looking in. I don't know. We'll see. But, yo, so I think this team, I think Buffalo Bills, ladies and gentlemen, I think they're gonna dominate, man. I get that sense, right? I get that sense that this team is going to really put on the gas, man. I think so. And I think it's gonna be finally, I think we're gonna see a consistent effort from both sides of the ball, defense and offense. But here's a tipping point, or here's where I think it kind of makes us even better, because we had the number one defense last year. But our defense, I think, are going to be so dominant, so incredible. Like last year, we were like shutting people down in the air, right? But this year. I think it's not just going to be in the air, but I think it's going to be in the ground. I think it's going to be that defensive line is really going to make the difference. Really going to make the difference this year. We know we struggled against the run game, you know, quite a bit against some teams. I think the defensive line with Daquan Jones and Tim Settle shutting that mess down, all the way down, shut it all the way down. And teams ain't running on us no more. This is not happening. As long as those guys are able to stay healthy, that's not happening. They're not running on us. Okay, but then, yo, we are so well rounded on defense and on the defensive line, so versatile, right? But so incredibly balanced. Teams want to try to, like, case in point, teams like the Tennessee Titans, right? Those teams who are just the ground and pound teams with Derrick Henry and the power offensive line and the power attack. We're going to be able to match them. Mono y mono. You got beef on beef, baby. You got Daquan Jones pushing well over 3 bills, and then Tim Settle. We want to go jumbo package. You're not running on those guys. The Colts, you're not running on us anymore. But then on top of that, we're going to be able to put pass rush in waves now with Von Miller leading the charge. Greg Rousseau, I think, is going to have another very good year. You're going to see him kind of started to develop and kind of grow into himself. Boogie Basham is a guy that I am so looking forward to this year. The way he came off the edge and bent that corner last week against the Colts, did that little rip move, you know what I'm saying, to that right tackle and came in with a strip sack. Yo, I was like, oh my gosh, look at my man Boogie. My buddy Boogie was getting it. So you got him AJ Epenesa, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, he can make a step. He needs to. He needs to, or else he's going to be cut. You know what I'm saying? So, and then interior, Ed Oliver. I've said it before. I've said it once. I'll say it again. Ed Oliver is going to have a fantastic season. He is going to have double-digit sacks this year for the first time in his career. I said it. It's already been an On My Mama take. I think he's going to do it this year because of the talent around him now, right? You've got big dogs beside him. You've got Tim Settle. You got Daquan Jones. Those guys are going to be getting double teams. If you got a man like freaking Tim Settle pushing all pro guards like Quentin Nelson into their quarterback's lap, you don't think that my man Ed Oliver is going to be able to get by his guy? Yo, he's going to have so many one-on-one opportunities. It's going to be ridiculous. Jordan Phillips coming back, dominating again. Yo, Martin, absolutely. Yo, the boogeyman. It is going to be that. It's going to. The defense, in my opinion, is what's going to just tip us over. We were number one last year, but the defense is going to be better this year. Even though we may not be the number one in total defense, I think the defensive line is going to be incredible, putting tons of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford is going to be running for his life. Okay? He's going to be running for his life. He's going to be running for his life. It's going to happen. You don't think Von Miller is going to be ready to go after Matt Stafford? He is going to be a man on fire. Okay, against Matt Stafford and his former team and the Rams. Matt Stafford is going to be better. Look out. Look out. And then we go week two against the Titans and then Ryan Tannehill. I'm not worried about him. Tua, week three. Look, it's going to be good, man. It is going. Bills Mafia. Brace yourselves. Put your seatbelts on, right? Strap in for the long haul. It is going to be an exciting ride this year. An exciting ride this year because we have an incredible team. An incredible team. But like M said again, coming in with another super chat, it's more than a team that Brandon Bean has built. He's formed a family. That's why we're number one. Couldn't have said it any better myself. This team is so unique. They are tied to the hip, joint at the hip. They're like this. They're family. You see it, we hear it all the time. Just the camaraderie that these guys have, the joking that they do with each other. Yeah, it's different, man. And kudos to Brandon Bean for bringing in the talent, but not just the talent, but the people with the character, right? And then Sean McDermott for just building the character of his team, right? Building the team like it is, a family, man. We are Bills Mafia through and through. And so, Fanatics, you guys, do me this favor. Do me this favor, man. This is what I want you guys to do. This is what I want you all to do, okay? As we are wrapping this thing up, I told you, get ready. If you're not ready, get ready right now. Get ready right now because it is going to be an incredible season. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be some bumpy roads, right? I mean, it's going to be like a roller coaster, some ups and some downs, some low moments, some high moments. You know what I'm saying? But strap in and enjoy it. Strap in and enjoy it because this team, when it's all said and done, this team, no doubt is going to bounce back. And not only are they going to bounce back, they're going to be even better and better than ever. Better than ever. I fully believe it. I've got this sense. I don't know. I just got this sense, yo, that this team, yo, is not just destined for greatness, but that this team, this could be our year. You know what I'm saying? Like, this could very well be our year. All right? So get ready. Get ready for it. But until we enter the regular season, until we get there, which is just around the corner, ladies and gentlemen, right? It's just around the corner. Until we get there. Oh, okay. Thank you, RJ. Thank you, man. Because yeah, I was kind of on the fence right there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You called me out. You brought me back. You brought me back. RJ says, nah, fam. Yo, this is our year. Very RJ. RJ. Let's bring it, baby. Come on. There we go. Appreciate that. See, I said, yo, let's bring it home, Buffalo. This is it. This is, there we go. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, Fanatics. Come on in here. Amberlin, yo, said, go, Bills. Jason Humber, we winning it. We winning it all this year. We winning this thing. This is a year, baby. RJ, got you, brother. Appreciate that, my man. Yo, we are winning this thing this year. There we go. Man, you got me revved up again. Here we go, man. Now we back, baby. Now we're back. Get ready for this. Get ready for this ride. Get ready for the ride. Get ready for it. Teams, beware. Rams, beware. Titans, beware. Dolphins, beware. All of you all who are facing the Bills this year, you get ready for this. Because the Buffalo Bills ain't playing. The Buffalo Bills are coming all the way back. Josh Allen ain't forgot nothing. He's coming for you. Chiefs, we'll be back. We'll see you again. You know what I'm saying? It is going down. It is going down. Yo, and you know what else is going down? My man Matt Samuel16 with the super chat coming through. Says, yo, Rousseau is going to be throwing right tackles into tables or into the waiting arms of Von Miller. That's right, Matt. No doubt about it. This is the year. Oh, man. Mafia, I love you guys so very much. You got there we go. Now we talking. Here it is. Here it is. No, I didn't, Domo. No, I didn't, baby. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. This is the year. It's the Mafia ones. You're a Mafia always. Always a Mafia, no doubt. No way at the Mafia family. Absolutely. We will go, Bobby Commas. We will go 13-4 and win the Super Bowl. That's my guess, Bobby. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, man. I believe it, baby. I believe it. It starts with one. There we go. It starts with one. One team, one focus. Man, y'all better come through as we close out the show. Come on, chat. There we go. That's what I'm talking about, Bonfire. This is what I'm talking about. Oh, man. You guys are incredible. You guys are incredible. Don't say, yo, Rev got so hyped. You almost started cussing again. No, I didn't, man. I got hyped. I got revved up. I'm saying I had to bite my lip a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I had to do one of those. But yo, let's end this. Let's end this right now. Drop your record predictions. Drop them right now. Drop them right now. I already had 13-4. I got my man, yo, G Vong said, talking about 17-0. What about the other three games? We're going 17-0, but we might as well go 20-0. Count it. Come on. Come on. My man, yo, Tom comes in and says, yo, after 55 years of being a Bills fan, I am ready. Tom, yo, we are ready too. We are ready too. Yo, 22-0, bullish Bills. Yo, there we go, baby. There we go. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. We waited. Yeah, 15-2, RC3. 15-2, Ricky Graves. Oh, my gosh, yo. Yo, yo. Riser, 16-1. Yo, Tom Hart. Yo, Tom Hart, yo, 18-2. Amber Lynn coming in 15-2, 14-3 from my man RJ. Probably losing to the Ravens, Titans, Pats one time. We ain't losing to the Patriots. It's not happening. No way, Jose. But you know, you never know. Oh, man. Ninth Bobby Green, 19-0. There you go, baby. It wouldn't be Bills Mafia if it wasn't for some incredible record predictions. If there was not some excitement that's palpable, that you can taste, that's tangible. Can you taste that? It's in the air, ladies and gentlemen. It is in the air. The excitement is building. Anticipation is building. We're about to erupt. The regular season is around the corner. Bills got a game this Saturday. Check it out against the Broncos. But man, oh man. I was looking at my calendar today trying to take care of some business, and I looked up and I'm like, yo, kickoff is, what, 2 weeks away? Are we that close? Are we that close? I was like, yo, my gosh, man. I am like, it's there. It is there. Thursday night is going to be off the chart. It's going to be, we're going to be lit, man. It's going to be ridiculous. So there we go. Bills Mafia, Buffalo Fanatics. There, oh, all right. Matt716. Hey, there we go. Hey, man, look, y'all want to start the Bills? If y'all want to do it, let's do it. The Bills make me want to. Come on, baby, let's do it. Oh, man, yo. Oh, I'm excited. And I'm excited to be here with you all. As always, so incredibly excited to be with you all. Week in, week out, salute to you all. Like my man, your Matt716, 13-4, number one seed, and Super Bowl championship. Can you imagine? And I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but these, you know, I get these random thoughts. I'm trying to close out the show, guys. All right. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Buffalo Bills hoist up the Lombardi Trophy? Oh my gosh. I'm thinking of people, you know, like my man Tom Hartle, who said, you know, he's been a fan for 55 years, man, 55 years. We've got so many fans who've been watching this team, diehards, hardcore fans, for ages, right? And then we've got a new generation of fans who know nothing about the 90s Bills and how it felt to be that winning team, even though we lost four Super Bowls. So we get these drought babies who just, all they knew was just the drought. Bills Mafia. When we win, oh, you're going to see your boy with some tears. There's no doubt about it. It will be legendary. It will be legendary. Absolutely. It will be legendary. It's going to be incredible. I can't even find the words right now to articulate or to describe how it's going to feel. There's definitely going to be some tears. The excitement is going to be, oh, it's going to be ridiculous. But one thing you can be sure of, Josh Allen ain't going to be looking like this. Josh ain't going to be looking like that no more, right? He's not going to have that face. We're not going to see Diggs standing, looking at somebody else, you know, as they win the AFC Championship game going into the Super Bowl. Standing by himself with his hands on his hips, just in disbelief. We're not going to see that anymore. This is a team, and this is our year. So, Bills Mafia, let's get ready. Strap in, because it's going to be a long ride, but it's going to be fun. All right. It's going to be fun. Until next time, baby. Until next time. Let me play my music. There we go. You guys be good to each other. You guys be good to each other. Show some love to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Stay tuned for the rest of the week, because we're going to be off tomorrow. But my man Rico is coming through. If I'm not mistaken, Rico Report Friday. Right? We're going to have the BF Riders Club Saturday as we kick off the pregame show against the Denver Broncos coming into town. We got Bills football for the next several weeks. It is going to be so good. Oh, so good. I can't wait for it. I'm excited about it, baby. I'm excited about it. But let's go. Let's go. Hey. You know what I'm saying? But until next time, baby. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know your man Rev loves you so very much. Y'all be easy. Be good with one another. God bless. Go Bills.